Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will. Ecclesiastes. While you're turning there, let me just give you a couple prerequisites before the sermon. On Sundays, as we gather together to worship, there are different types of sermons that you'll hear me preach and others preach from myself. There are evangelistic sermons that are geared to reach people that are lost. Our main concern is always the unsaved, pointing people to Christ. And then there are sermons that are pastoral sermons, sermons for growth, sermons for Christian growth. And there is no one, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, there is no one that can fully understand the spiritual realm that a pastor deals with when you preach a message like I'm preaching today. I want one thing for you after that you are saved, and I mean this. I want this for you and for everyone that says this is their church or they know the Lord is their Savior. I want this one thing more than anything else in your Christian life and your Christian experience. I want you to be blessed. And the way that you're blessed is by knowledge of the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to apologize because visitors are here today. Visitors are here every service. If I worried about what visitors thought, I would never preach pastoral messages. And I'm going to go through a lot of things quickly. You'll need to jot notes down for time's sake as we go over some things today. But I'm preaching on the subject, the Sermon on the Mount. And it will deal strictly with your money. See how the shouting, Lee? We should shout more. In fact, I can tell who's tithing or not already. By the look on your face already. See, if you're giving like you should be giving, you're going to say, whoa, glory to God. Preach on, preach on. But if you're not, you're going to be miserable for the next 30 minutes. Now, before I preach this, I warned you months ago I was going to preach on this topic, so it's nothing that you've come unprepared for. Years ago, I used to hesitate about talking about money. I have a lot of pastor friends that say they have never preached one sermon on giving or tithing, and I say that is wrong. And to prove that, you have to look at the words of Christ. In your Bible may not be like mine, even though it's King James. See how I just assumed that? Even though it's King James Version, yours may not be like mine because I have certain King James Version Bibles that have the words of the Lord in red. So I thought, to start this, I want to go through all of the verses that are recorded, actual words of Christ. And do you know, if I have counted accurately, Jesus spoke more in relation to possessions and money than he did from the words of the Master than he did about heaven, hell, faith, and healing combined. Go home and check it out. In fact, I've only found one other subject that he spoke about more than money or possessions, and that was the kingdom. When he talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, he talked more about that than he did about money. But oftentimes, when he would say, and the kingdom of heaven is like, he would use something of possessions or money to deal with that. Boy, I can tell you're thrilled already. I used to be reluctant to speak about it because I had always been taught that in the ministry, it is just bad taste to talk about money. Well, you're going against what Jesus talked about then. Do you know why? Money and the false use of money and the false value of money is sending more people to hell in America than anything else. It is the root of the problem. And then on top of that, you're always labeled as being greedy. Well, I finally got to the place that I've quit listening to those naysayers, and I've decided I want to be blessed and I want you to be blessed. And this is not about how much that you have. It's about what you do with what you have. That's what the Lord teaches in Scripture. It is not wrong to have money, but it is wrong for money to have you. When we get it wrongfully, when we value it wrongfully, when we put it in its wrong place, then it becomes wrong. But money in and of itself is not wrong. Now, to prove to you what I'm saying, I want to just take four verses, and right now you ought to say, glory to God, he's just taking four, because there's a lot of verses I could take. But I got my attention drawn to the subject of money and what the Word of God says about it. And the first thing that I found, even though I had read it, I hadn't read it. I read the words, but it didn't soak in. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19. The Bible says, do you have it? A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry. But look at this next phrase. But money answereth all things. Now come on, be honest. Did that ever soak in before? Money answereth all things. Now look right here. Don't misinterpret what that's saying. It does not say money is the answer to all things. It says money answereth all things. The key word there is answereth. What does he mean by the word when he's referring to answereth all things? What does that mean? Well, the word answereth means to testify, to talk, or to witness. What it is, your money reveals the real you. Money will testify about you. Money will tell others what's going on in your life. So first of all, he says, money reveals. Don't worry, I'm going to tie it together before I'm done. Second of all, stay in the same book, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. Money reveals. Second of all, Ecclesiastes 7:12, for wisdom is a defense. And money is a what? Defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So second of all, he said, money answereth all things. It reveals. Second of all, money is a defense. Notice how it's spelled. Look how it's spelled in your Bible. It's not a shield. That's not what he's referring to. It's not like something defending you. The word defense here simply means relief. Literally, it means a shade. It is a picture of somebody that is in the desert and they're hot and they can't carry on. And suddenly they find this oasis of trees and they're able to sit in the shade. What he's saying is money is a relief. It not only reveals, but it relieves. You say, now, preacher, money doesn't relieve. Oh, really? Have some bills due and not have enough in the bank. You tell me you got money in the bank to pay the bills that are coming. That's not a relief to you. If that's not a relief to you, then you're lying to yourself. Money gives a relief. It is a shake. When you don't have enough of it, you'll find out that you're miserable. It takes money to find relief. The third thing, if you will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. So money reveals, it answereth all things. Money is a defense, it is a relief. Now the most interpretive passage of Scripture in the Word of God, in my opinion. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. I hear pages turning. I'm waiting on you. I know I'm preaching a little different today, but I hope some of it's soaking in. If not, you'll love or hate me by the end of the sermon. You know it by heart, but it's good to read it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money has caused people to backslide. They've erred from the faith because of money. Here he says money is the root of all evil. So money answereth all things. It reveals. Money is a defense. It's a relief. And money is the root. Now it doesn't say that money is evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. You didn't get that. If money was evil, the devil would dump semi-loads of it in your backyard. Because he wants all of us to have all the evil that we can possibly have. It is the love of money that becomes the root of all evil. So when your love is wrong, he's dealing with the heart. All of these are issues out of the heart that God's Word deals with. Jesus said it's our heart that needs checked. Can I give you one other thing? And then I'm going to tie it all together for you. In Psalms, in the 15th Psalm and the 5th verse. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Psalm 15:5. So we have money. Answereth all things, it reveals. Money is a defense, it's a relief. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Psalm 15:5. He that putteth not out his money to usury. That word usury, you can interpret it only one way. You can check every Hebrew background there is and it means the same thing, interest. He that putteth not out his money to interest. Now, some people said God condemns getting interest, but that's not what he said. Pay close attention to the next page. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that putteth not his money to usury. It is interest that is charged on someone that is disadvantaged. He's saying you do not use your money to take advantage of poor people to get a reward. This could easily be said the same way. It's like a ministry. I might get in over my head here, but I hope you'll pull me back out. It's like a ministry that stands and says, we're going to feed the poor, but they charge 90% of the money they raise to pay for their salaries and 10% goes to the poor. They are using the poor to make money. It's like somebody that dies in our area and they go to businesses and put out jars to try to get money to pay for a funeral that's already paid for. Ouch. It's like people that hang around this church week after week and they say, I need some money. I've got to have some money. I've got this facing me and that facing me. And they won't even stay to hear the preaching. Usury. Thank all three of you for the amen. Now, let's just get this plain. I will do anything to help anybody. But I will not help somebody stay in their sin or continue in their horrible habits and take God's money to try to help people that will not help themselves. You have got to get to the place. I know people get sick. I know people lose their job. But I also know there is a group of people that is just taking advantage of other people. They love to take advantage of other people. And they do that over and over and over again. And the Bible says if you try to use money to reward yourself by taking advantage of other people, God said, you'll answer to me for that one day. That's the introduction. Now, money reveals. Money's a relief. Money has a root. The love of it. The root of all evil. And money should not reward you for taking advantage of people that are in a bad situation. So, what's this tell us? I mean, really, look at it. That is total opposites. One place he says you're blessed because of it. Another place he says you're cursed because of it. One place he says it gives you relief. The next place, if you take reward of it and somebody's taking advantage of a situation, I don't want you to leave out of here and say, oh, Brother Cal said you shouldn't do this or do that. We should always help the poor. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about another group of people. That I pray you're not like that, but if you are, you're going to answer to God for that one day. So he says, in one place you're rewarded because of it, and another place you're not going to be rewarded because of the use of it. What is he saying? It's all over the map, as Kevin had today. It's everywhere. Can I tell you what he's saying? Are you ready? Let me just give you about seven things real quick, and I mean they're going to be quick. Number one, this tells me money really has, in and of itself, has no plan or no agenda. Money is just money. Money is to pay your bills. It's to buy goods. It's got a backing that says it's worth what it's worth, and money is just money. In and of itself, money is money. I got to go to the next point for you to get what I'm saying. Number two, since it has no plan or no agenda, money doesn't change anyone or anything. Because it has no plan, no program, no agenda. It doesn't change one thing, nothing. I can prove that to you. You can have all the money in the world, but if you get an incurable disease, money can't buy health for you. So in and of itself, money doesn't change one thing. It doesn't change anyone. But here's what it is. Money becomes what it is when it is placed in the hand of someone else and their heart is revealed because of it. Money becomes what is in the heart of the holder of it. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I know an old boy, and I'm telling you what, he got a bunch of money and he changed. No, he didn't change. He was always like that. Money just brought out what was already in his heart. He didn't change. Money didn't change him. Money hasn't ever changed anyone. I'm telling you, it is your heart. That's what makes the difference concerning your money. Jesus wasn't teaching about money. He's teaching about our heart. When our heart is right, we use money right. We value money right. But if our heart is not right, it becomes what it is in the hand of a holder. I can leave downtown this week and somebody's standing there saying that they need money. I can stop and give them $10 in my hand. That is a gift of love and a gift of benevolence. I wanted to be benevolent. They could take that same $10 and go and buy beer. I want a benevolence. They want a beer. Same $10 that bought me a blessing bought them a curse. Would you help me preach? It's what's in our heart. It is what we are doing with what God has given to us that makes the difference. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you want to see what your treasure is? Look at your checkbook today. Go home, sit down, look at your checkbook. Look at what you're spending your money on. If you value it up and the better part of it is playthings and things of amusement and things of enjoyment and God is at the bottom of the list, you're saying what you value most in life. I'm telling you, you can see your heart by what you do with your money. When your heart changes, the use of your money changes. I don't have any knowledge of anything anybody gives in this church. Thank God I don't. Because I'll guarantee you, before you backslide, the first thing you'll start doing, you'll stop tithing. and you'll stop giving. See, some of you are actually silly enough to believe that if you get mad at the preacher and stop giving your money, that you're doing God a favor. All you're doing is shutting off the spigot to glory for the blessings in your life. You're not giving it to the preacher. You're not giving it to the deacons. You're not giving it to the treasurer. You're giving it to the Lord. And when I worship the Lord with my gifts, with my money, as I give to the Lord, God says that if my heart is right in what I do, God will take it and multiply it and bless it for His glory. That's why I'm telling you today, if your heart is right with God, if you have tithe, if you have given your offering, I don't care what financial battle you're in, you can claim the promise of the Lord. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God owns the world, everything that's in it. And when we get our heart right with God, God will bless our giving. It's a matter of your heart. Now, you can fool me, but you can't fool God, because God knows your heart. A man that was rich came to Jesus, curious about what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said, well, what about the commandments? He said, I've kept the commandments since my youth. Like a lot of you, I read my Bible. I go to church. I say amen. I shout. I even jerk every now and then. I do all of that. But right now I'm burning your hide so bad you can't stand it. If you had a gun, you'd shoot me right now. You can't stand what you're hearing right now, because you want control of your money. And the rich young ruler said, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. But the Lord said, well, then here's what you do. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Do you know he is the only man that ever met Jesus in your Bible recorded that met the Lord and went away sorrowful? Do you know why? Jesus got to the heart of the matter. Some of you are stopping God from blessing you because there's things financially you have not made right. There's things that you're not concerned about making right. You have no interest in what you do with your money concerning God, and you're sorrowful after the crowd is gone and the shouting is stopped. When you're home and all alone, you're not feeling so good then. You're feeling terrible. You wake up in the middle of the night knowing you're going to meet God, because you haven't dealt with others right financially and with God right financially, and it bothers you. Praise God. Praise God. Why is that so important? Number five, faith in God is verified by your willingness to part with something of value. I heard a pastor friend say one time, he was sitting on the front seat beside of another pastor preaching in a service. And an old boy stood up and testified. And he said, you know, I want to praise God. He said, I sat in a service here a few years ago, and God put it on my heart to give what I had to the Lord. And I looked in my wallet, and there was $20. And he said, I put the $20 in the offering plate. And he said, I want to stand and tell you today, I've got over $3 million in my bank account. His pastor leaned over to the visiting preacher and said, I wonder, would he do it again? Wow. See, you can say what you want to, but probably if you only got $20 in your bank account, you're so used to living that way now. But now that we're living high and blessed, what if God said, give it all now? Don't try the Lord, friend. Don't tempt God, whatever you do. Don't do that. Come on now, preach it. Preach it. Come on now. God says, I count certain things to you for righteousness. You know, he spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to take your only Isaac and sacrifice him to me. That's what we're talking about today with the heart. It is a matter of sacrifice. Sacrifice. I know what's happening is a lot of you come in and you look at that board and you see the amount of money that the church is giving you. Say, whoo, thank God I don't have to do anything. I can go out and buy this and do this and take care of me and take care of that. Yes, you do. That does not relieve you. What we are doing collectively as a church never relieves you from what you need to do personally and individually before God. When God lays it on your heart and says, do it, you had better do it. If you're willing to come to that place where you're going to say, Lord, everything I've got is yours. Everything that I have belongs to you, Lord. And God looks at our heart and says, do you mean it? And God says, are you willing to sacrifice it? You know, he didn't have to offer up Isaac, but he was willing to. And his faith was counted to him for righteousness. How willing are you? How willing are you? What if God says, do this, do that? How willing are you? Number six, I know what your mouth says, but I want to know what your money says. Maybe I better run over that bump one more time. I know what your mouth says. What does your money say? We face some great challenges in life. I really thought, you know, we got Jubilee coming up. This is not an appeal for money. This church gives above and beyond. But I thought if everybody really got the burden for Jubilee and was obedient to do what they could, there wouldn't even have to be an offering taken. I'm going to make a statement, and you can agree or disagree, but I'm just telling you facts. I have seen churches blessed and multiplied because money answereth all things. Their money did the talking for them. Hey, look right here. The day we stop giving, Rubyville, not given to our own and given to ourselves and given for our own desires, the day we stop giving to even bless others in ministry and others in need, the day we stop giving is the day we'll start going the other direction. Amen. It's a fact. And I've seen churches blessed, and I've also unfortunately seen churches close their doors. And almost every time, if I knew the church close and personally, every time that that happened, there was one thing they had in common. They got consumed with their self and their own needs above the needs of others. They would say things like this. Well, we decided we're going to quit missions giving because we need a bigger fellowship, Paul. We need to pay for that. Do you really think that God cares more about you filling your belly than he does lost souls? What kind of a limb on a crooked tree did you crawl out on? Do you really think that God is more concerned? I hear ministries constantly begging, begging, begging. But if you check, they give nothing to nobody, do nothing for nobody. Oh, they'll do it for their ministry. If we just did it all for us and try to build our own little kingdom here. But that's not what God says it's all about. Our money says more than what our mouth says. And when people come in and it's nothing more than the sensitivity of the Spirit, and people are obedient to the Spirit and do what others will not do, and God says, here's an opportunity for you to bless others. And as a church, if we bless others, I promise you, God will bless us every time. Point number seven, anything of value and greatest value in your life will always get your best. Anything that's the greatest value in your life will get your best. Can I ask you something? How many of you want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I make you ruler over many." How many of you want to hear the Lord say that to you? Get your hand up. You want to hear that? Yeah, I want to hear that. You know when Jesus was teaching about that, do you know what he was talking about? Matthew 25. The kingdom is like a man that gave one man 5 talents, one man 2 talents, one man 1 talent. That word talent does not mean playing the piano, singing a song, picking a guitar, being able to preach. It's money, thank you. It is a form of money. One got 5, one got 2, one got 1. When he returned, the one with 5 said, "Here's your 5, and I have 5 more. It had multiplied. So now he's giving him 10 at the end of the journey. The next one said, "I had 2. I have doubled it. Here's 2 more. The first 2, Jesus said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The one that had 1, don't miss this. He did not condemn anyone. He told the one that had 2 he was getting what the one that had 5 was getting. But the one that had 1 thought that he would be fearful of meeting him again when he come. So he took the 1 and he hid it, protected it. And the Lord said, he said, "Here's your 1 back. You gave me 1. I took care of the 1. Here it is back." And the Lord said, "You're slothful." It wasn't because he had the least. It is not how much he gives you. It is what you do with what he gives you. How do you value God? What is the most valuable to you? Get your best. Now you can stew up at me, be mad at me, and threaten to throw me out and do anything you want to. But I want you to know, we've got about 80% of our folks that's valuing the wrong thing. I knew it'd get quiet there. Everything is before God. Everything. And then we get up and teach and preach about how strong we are in the Lord. I don't want to hear what your mouth says. I want to see what your money says. Just like today, see, a lot of people will be touched and say, "You know, I didn't realize it. But I've put more in this and more in that and more in this. Things that's going to deteriorate and be left behind. I put more in that than I have the kingdom of God." And rather than keeping your heart soft and tender and coming and praying, saying, "Lord, I want to give you my best," I'll guarantee you there are people here in this crowd that has watched more Fox News and CNN this week than has spent in time and prayer. More of you know more about what happened at a fight last night. And what's the whole thing about that fight? I've heard 2 or 3 figures. $100 million, $180 million. You look at me. Nobody in this world is worth $100 million for 12 rounds. I don't care if they're the strongest man in the world. They're not worth $100 million for beating somebody else up. I used to get beat up for nothing. But I want to tell you what's wrong. I know I'm in overtime. I'm telling you from my heart what's wrong. We have placed that stuff above church. There's people not here today because they're too. Some of you have come in so sleepy because you were up all night long wondering who's going to win the big fight. And it's not one fight. Next weekend it'll be this. It'll be that. We've got parents that should be in church with their children this morning that's not in church. You say, preacher, you're hammering that hard. I'm hammering hard because I either want us to tune up, get right with God, but quit playing games, acting like we're something spiritual. I tell you why the shout doesn't last any longer than the church house. It's because we've got a heart problem. But if your heart is right, I can shout in the church. I can shout outside the church. I can shout when I go to the grocery store. I can shout when I'm in the hospital. I can shout no matter where I'm at, if my heart is right with God. Oh, glory. Well, I'm done. It's your turn. It's your turn. See how programmed we are? Man, I really thought there'd be some people here saying, Lord, don't give me this stuff. I sold out to God. I don't care what you did 20 years ago. What are you doing today? Don't you tell me one thing. I'm smart enough to look and see. Don't you tell me one thing and you're doing something else. Don't you think that some experience 20 years ago never runs out and it stays the same forever and ever. It doesn't stay the same forever and ever. I want to know, how up to date with God are you? Did you talk to Him this morning before you came to church? Did you bother to invite one soul to church this week? Have you bothered to pray that somebody would be saved? Have you bothered to say, Lord, give me some food from heaven that would change my life, change my direction. Lord, keep me on target for you. Lord, this is a matter of my heart with God, not the heart of others. It's my heart and my standing with God.